You're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. I'm Joe Vicnicki for the local news department. We are preempting the local news today for a special live show, and I'm joined in the studio today by three people from the Petersburg Medical Center and one from the Petersburg School District. We have Lori Miller, the preparedness coordinator, director. Emergency preparedness with the medical center, and also Phil Hofstetter, CEO of the medical center and director of nursing, Jennifer Briner, excuse me, and of course the superintendent of schools, Erica Clute Painter. We're going to talk about COVID-19, the coronavirus, what the community should know, what the hospital and school district, the latest that they know and the information they want to get out at this point. And it is changing pretty rapidly. I think there are now daily updates from the governor's office, high up at the federal level even. So the information, you're going to be getting a lot of information over the next few days and weeks. And we're talking about making this a daily radio live show to get that information out and get the latest information out. We think it may be happening around the 12:30 hour from here on out, if that works for everybody. So tune in at that time for future installments. But let's talk about the latest. Who wants to go first? Maybe we'll hear from the medical center. Phil, you want to start?
Sure.
About what you're seeing. Of course, there's no cases yet reported statewide in Alaska. Well, that could change at any time, we're hearing. You haven't heard of any here locally or anything. You haven't tested anything. What's the status?
Yeah, at this point in time, in the public information, there's no positive cases. However, I mean, I do feel like that's something that is going to change. And, you know, and you're right, it is a very rapidly evolving kind of scenario and landscape. And, you know, we're following the CDC guidelines, and the state of Alaska has put out daily reports as well, which we monitor and follow very, very closely and implement those. We did take the extra step today to activate our incident command and emergency preparedness, and with some additional parameters, really kind of looking at screening and, you know, more of a choke point, restricting access to certain areas in the hospital. And we can talk a little bit about that a little bit later on. But I think more importantly is getting the daily word out on a regular basis is very, very challenging. I think Erica and I, we brainstormed a little bit today, and we're just like, you know, it's just so hard to get the communication out there. We're both, you know, receiving a lot of feedback from the community on information, and it's just, we can't get it fast enough, and we don't know it all the time either. Since the landscape is changing so often. So Erica invited me over and said, hey, we got to brainstorm about this, and this is the solution. So here we are.
Okay.
Right? That's where we are.
What are you telling the general public, potential patients? You want them to call first before they come to the medical center? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to pass it on to Jennifer. Okay. Jennifer, let's leading slide the charge you a microphone on long-term care. And
on one side acute. There. There we go. Jennifer Briner. What's the message to the public? Are you seeing people walking in with fever right now? Or
we aren't seeing a large volume of people with symptoms that would be classified as COVID-19 symptoms. But we do ask people to call the clinic before coming in if they have any respiratory illness symptoms or if they have questions.
Meaning cough?
Cough, fever, shortness of breath.
Those are the three.
Those are the three, the main three.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, they should definitely call before they come in. Our goal is to keep people who don't need urgent medical care out of the facility so they don't come in and spread it to our most vulnerable people who are our long-term care residents. So right now we're really restricting visitation. So we're asking the community to not come into the hospital unless they have a medical appointment. So don't come up and just visit your favorite resident or even staff member. So we're really trying to keep the number of people
Whether or not you have symptoms. So
whether or not.
Public events going forward at the moment for long-term care and that thing, are those are not happening for a little while.
Those are not happening okay. right now.
All right. All right. What other changes at the hospital? Is the health fair still happening? Are you still doing blood draws on a Monday, Tuesday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday basis? Lori, would you slide that microphone a little closer to you, please? There we go. Yeah. What other changes at the hospital, Lori?
Out of an abundance of caution, we have decided to postpone the last 2 weeks of health fair draws. We will reschedule them when we have a better idea about how to handle this and what is going on within the state and within the country. But for right now, Phil and I just made this decision. The draws are postponed, and the health fair itself is most likely going to be postponed until we have better information and we have a better handle on how this is going to affect our community.
Okay, so if you're scheduled next week, like I am, to be determined.
To be determined. Okay. There will be no blood draws. You will, if you have an appointment, we will contact you once we have a better plan in place for how to still draw your blood. It might be we only draw two people at a time so we can have the 6 feet social distance. Mm-hmm. We still have to figure that plan out, but we will contact everybody who has already made an appointment to reschedule a blood draw at a later date.
Okay. Staff travel at the medical center, is it still happening out of state? Are you sending people other places? Are people going through Seattle? Are you, Phil, you want to tackle that one? Or?
Yeah, one of the things that we're, obviously we can't tell people personally to travel one way or the other. From a hospital standpoint, I believe that we're going to limit that. If we are asking anyone that's traveled in the last 14 days to present to a station and get their temperature check and logging in. And actually, we've applied that to everyone now, so it doesn't matter anymore. But we were doing that already and just monitoring those up to 14 days. I think that's typically the standard incubation period that we're hearing about. So that is definitely a concern. A lot of folks travel here, so we do have some folks out of, and they're going to be traveling in, and we are going to be asking them to kind of stay home. And we try to get creative. You know, this is also an opportunity to get a little innovative, and we were looking at positions that can work from home. Fortunately, some of the folks that are out can easily work from home with a computer and a VPN and in network lines, so we're kind of ramping that up a little bit with other positions as well. And the idea is to kind of just keep the crowding and the flow. It's not necessarily that anything's presented. It's just to keep the volume of people to a minimum in a facility.
Okay. Yeah. And then I imagine you're doing the usual cleaning and everything that happens on a regular basis for normal diseases and everything. Yeah. So, Erica, travel for the school districts. Let's get the mic over to you.
I love this mic.
You just sent all the students out on their spring break starting this afternoon. So everyone's free.
Yes.
I see the happy students walking around everywhere. The students who are leaving the state and going other places, can they come back? This was a question from a parent who wrote in who said, mm-hmm. We're going through Seattle. When we come back, is there any restriction on them returning to class after spring break?
Well, that's a good question. I appreciate this conversation just with our medical professionals here. And I'm not a medical professional. Nor do I pretend to be. I'm good at reading and I can follow good directions. But so we do act on the guidance from the experts in this area. We're but in that being said, we are definitely preparing for the possibility that we will not, have class after spring break. I think it's quite possible. Anchorage has just announced in the last about 15 minutes that they are extending their spring break. They are currently on a spring break right now. They are extending for at least another week. I would definitely want to be having conversations with people in this room and public health and beyond, because in our community, well, I would say any community, it's not just a school conversation. So you don't just make that decision and then have, what happens with childcare and where do people go and what are other people doing and are you actually adding to a situation if there's elderly people in a home or who's taking care of the kids and is it grandma and grandpa, all those things. So anyway, those are all the, you know, the kind of the ramifications beyond. So at this point, talking with Phil a little bit this morning, having a conversation about what that might look like to do a little bit of screening if we were open as sort of usual, what would that look like for us? Could we implement a little bit better screening measures for people coming into our school, whether it's staff and students or limiting again, you know, maybe parents or visitors? We have a lot of volunteers, especially in the elementary school, that are amazing, and they would be super sad and we would be really sad too, but it doesn't really make a lot of sense to have people who in their 60s and 70s coming into a building, coming into the petri dish.
I'm sorry, those decisions haven't been made yet.
No. Okay. It's evolving. Okay. And so it's evolving even as things are happening with, you know, basketball tournaments and activities and all those sorts of things. I think mm-hmm. if there had been some of this information even 3-4 days ago, you know, probably wouldn't have sent kids to regionals, is my guess. But they're there. So we are bringing our pep band kids home early. Wrangell is following suit with that as well. Of course, the problem is you get them all up there, then you don't have enough planes. So the decision to bring everybody home is a little challenging too, but we are starting that process, getting kids back sooner than later. State basketball has been postponed, and I won't say that it will be canceled because I don't know, but my guess is I don't know how long you keep postponing things like that with large groups, but that's my personal opinion.
And how about things like graduation, which is not too far down the road,
too? It's not that far out either. Yeah.
Or other big public mm-hmm. events here.
Mm-hmm. I think all those things have to be on the conversation block. I guess the one good thing about spring activities is that the bulk of them are outside, so that's good. Mm-hmm. We've got baseball and track, although mm-hmm. right now they're practicing in a gym. So those are still conversations that I think we need to have.
We put up some guidelines that the state's chief medical officer, Ann Zink, just put out today for communities to think about, for the general public, for high-risk groups, business and employers, schools, and even religious and faith-based organizations about holding public events and what to think about, whether to consider that. You can find that on our website at the moment, mm-hmm. and that's probably going to be updated by tomorrow, too, so we'll keep posting that. What other information do you want to get out, either from the school district or the medical center at this point, about how to deal with this? Mm-hmm. Jennifer, slide another mic to you.
I just want to remind everybody that even though we're doing a lot of activities that are pretty unprecedented in Petersburg, it still is a virus, and the most effective way to prevent it is to wash your hands, cover your cough, you know, then mm-hmm. wash your hands again. Stay home if you're sick. Stay away from sick people. You know, those basic things that we learned in kindergarten, yeah. but those are really the most effective way to prevent this from really making people sick. At the hospital, we have 12 to 15 people that live there who are vulnerable and frail, and that is why it's so important that we institute pretty big measures to prevent the spread of that disease to our population.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Have you consulted with the Mountain View Manor as well in the borough at this point, or is that discussion to come?
We've sent some information to the manor, uh-huh. and I think that discussion will keep evolving over time as we learn more.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And while we have you on the mic, there's a lot of other stuff going on around the community in terms of illness, right? I mean, it's easy to get kind of panicked because everyone's coughing, sniffling these days, and it's easy to assume everyone's got coronavirus, right?
We're still in the middle of cold and flu season.
Okay.
I think recently, I don't know if this week, but last week, we still had positive flu swabs. So we are offering free flu shots. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that people can do to protect themselves and protect others, not from the coronavirus, but from another respiratory illness that could make the coronavirus a lot worse in somebody if they were just recovering from one and got the second.
People with one mm-hmm. flu shot earlier in the year when you were giving them out for free in the fall, do they need a booster or is one good for?
They don't. Okay. Just one is good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And again, if people want a flu shot, we ask them to call.
Okay.
And not just show up because we are screening everybody at the door.
Okay. All right. And Phil, other information on your end?
Not at this time. I think that, you know, again, this is a, you know, real-time evolving situation. And I'm so thankful that you're able to have us on the radio, yeah, because I think that is probably the most effective way to get information and communication out. So I would ask people to stay tuned. We are trying very diligently and strongly to put information on our website, on our social media. I understand that not everyone has that capability, but we are trying to get as much information as we can, the most current information out there as possible. But know that what's being said today can change tomorrow.
Okay. And Erica, how about from the school district standpoint, anything else you want to spread the word about?
I don't think so at this point. I think just reiterating that we do appreciate the opportunity to be able to provide information to people, and also that if people are out there and they have questions, you know, that there's people here. I mean, we're happy to take those or even discuss them with this group, maybe on this sort of a program. Again, I'm not an expert in the specifics of the medical issues, but we are reacting and responding as things do change. We are, you know, actively preparing for what it might look like to do school from home, and trying to also take that into consideration that it's a larger community conversation, and we don't want to spring something on people, you know, at a last minute. We're just in that preparation stage and trying to keep the word to families and parents about things as they do change, and if we make a decision, making it in enough time so people can plan and prepare.
And we're hearing for students from colleges and universities are already coming back to Petersburg with closures of their dorms from mm-hmm. around the country. So we're going to be seeing more people coming back into the community who have been sent home from their school and will be learning online. So,
yes, lots of kids.
And I think we do have a call while I'm setting this up, though. Lori, I know you've prepared for a lot of different emergencies. Mm-hmm. Is the medical center pretty prepared for this? There have been other past illnesses that have gone throughout the globe. So I imagine you've done the kind of drills to get ready for this kind of thing.
We have. We've also had the discussions that are important beforehand. We meet daily to discuss the situation and our status as far as supplies and capabilities. Right now, we are as prepared as we can be until we actually know more or get a positive in our community or within Southeast. We are, I guess the term is, leaning forward. We're ready to go. But right now, we also want to emphasize that there's no reason to panic or worry. If you do feel like you have symptoms, please call the hospital. We will take care of you, and we will help make an accurate diagnosis.
And from what little I know about it, the steps to be taken now are going to soften the blow. Is that an accurate description of
is a good way to say it. Slow the spread is also good, but there's no way to avoid it. We are going to get exposed to it in some form or another. This is just like a cold. This is going to go through. It's just we want to make sure that it doesn't affect the most vulnerable, which are our elderly and medically frail. We want them to avoid getting it.
Okay. Caller on line one, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I had a question. I just wondered if there's an adequate number of test kits available.
Great question. The question is number of test kits, and specifically, I think the caller probably means here, do we have test kits here in Petersburg?
We have the capability to collect the specimens, and we have the avenue to either send it to the state for testing, or commercial labs are now. The big labs like Quest and LabCorp have the capability of testing specimens. They do ask, though, that we only send specimens that meet the CDC guidelines for potential COVID infection, because they don't want to be completely overwhelmed just screening thousands upon thousands of people.
Okay. And are you hearing anything about time frame for returning results on any of those tests? Is it a long turnaround?
3 to 5 days is the best case scenario.
Okay.
That's what the Quest has put out. That's what the state has put out.
Okay. All right.
I'll hang up now.
You got it. Thanks, Leo. And in terms of time frame for what we know about the coronavirus, mm-hmm. people who have tested positive for this, what's the time frame for when they are transmitting the disease versus when that's passed through them in there?
There's actually not a whole lot of firm data on that yet. It changes daily based on the number of cases they've had and as they track the spread from one patient. So I don't really have a good answer for that. I would check with the CDC and the World Health Organization. That's going to be the experts that are going to be able to give you that kind of information.
Okay. All right. I think, see if we have any other phone calls, any other important information we've missed as we're going through here.
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
I think we're, you know, more to come and more information to follow. And, you know, again, I just want to thank Erica for helping facilitate this. Good job.
Let's love being on the radio. See if we get one more call. Caller on line one, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, thank you for taking this call. I'm kind of a mini epidemiologist. The way I understand this virus is not everyone who gets this virus is going to die. 1-2% might, and up to 30,000 people in our country die of the flu every year. Unless you're immunosuppressed from chemotherapy or a frail adult, you really do not have to worry. Just wash your hands if you want to cover your mouth if you cough or use your cup or a knob. But this is not a panic. In spite of the media making us all terrified, this is a very, very... Viruses happen, diseases spread. This is an overkill, I think. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the comment. And... Any further comments? Also, just the impact on if you have the disease and transmitting it to others, I think, too, is the thing we're trying to cover, too, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, hopefully we'll have another show tomorrow at 12:30, so tune in there. There might be updated information, and we'll be recording this and posting it on our website for you to tune into later. Thank you all very much. You're listening to KFSK in Petersburg. Thanks, Joe.